It is Tuesday, July 21st. The headlines today are a masterclass in why operational efficiency is starting to matter more than scale. We are seeing a shift where the ability to manage physical constraints is becoming the primary indicator of long-term success. NVIDIA has started production on its Vera Rubin platform. This hardware uses robotic assembly to cut deployment times from hours down to minutes. At the same time, TSMC, pronounced TSMC, finalized plans to raise manufacturing prices by up to 10% by 2027. They are looking to capture more value from the current AI boom and fund their global facility expansion. The industry is caught in a strange feedback loop. We call it the Jevons paradox. As developers make model routing and inference more efficient, they don't actually lower the total demand for compute. They just make it cheaper for more people to jump in, which pushes aggregate demand right back up. It's a hell of a position for hardware makers, but it's a brutal reality for the spreadsheet watchers. Speaking of those spreadsheets, the expected AI-driven efficiency gains are currently failing to materialize on corporate balance sheets. Firms like MSCI and Equifax posted revenue growth, but their stock prices dropped by double digits. Their margins are getting squeezed by the massive cost of IT infrastructure and specialized talent. It turns out that for data-heavy companies, AI is currently a capital-intensive investment rather than a labor-saving miracle. The situation is even messier in the policy arena. The U.S. government is considering ways to block or discourage the use of high-performing Chinese open-weight models, such as Moonshot's Kimi K3. Some observers argue these models are a form of state-sponsored dumping that threatens domestic frontier labs. Others point out that if the U.S. successfully restricts these cheaper alternatives, it forces domestic users to pay anywhere from 5 to 50 times higher costs. That is a massive competitive disadvantage for American products trying to compete on a global stage. The strategy of using regulatory uncertainty to scare businesses away from these tools might backfire. It risks creating a precedent where agencies can weaponize manufactured doubt against any future competitor. And honestly, the U.S. seems fixated on model benchmarks where China has already reached parity, while ignoring the physical bottlenecks that actually matter. We are arguing over software while the real race is for high bandwidth memory, energy grids, and the physical act of building data centers. This shift toward operational reality is hitting the academic world, too. Institutions are struggling to manage AI in the classroom, but most are still treating it as a policing problem. They are relying on AI detection tools that inevitably create more false positives as they get more sensitive. This forces faculty to spend their limited time on due process investigations rather than teaching. It's a systemic failure. Instead of redesigning curricula to distinguish between tasks that require human mastery and tasks where AI is a professional skill, schools are effectively turning professors into campus cops. They are destroying the trust necessary for learning to save a status quo that is already gone. Biology is seeing a similar inflection point. Zera Therapeutics is moving away from observational models that just find correlations in datasets like cell LX gene. They are pivoting to causal foundation models trained on high-throughput CRISPR-based perturbation data. This allows them to simulate how cells actually respond to interventions. It turns the AI from a simple pattern matcher into a virtual simulator, letting researchers test drugs in silico before committing to the high cost of wet lab experiments. The common thread here is that the era of speculative hype is finally running into the wall of physical and operational constraints. We are seeing a move from bigger models are better to better data and smarter orchestration win. Whether it's in drug discovery or enterprise software, the winners won't be the ones with the largest parameter counts. They will be the ones who figure out how to integrate high quality, causal data with silicon native architectures. And they'll be the ones who realize that if you don't redesign your fundamental processes to match the technology, You're just paying an expensive tax on your own obsolescence. Speaking of processes that need a hard look, the media industry is currently doing its own version of a systemic overhaul. ESPN laid off a significant number of employees in a single, high-profile event rather than letting contracts expire. The network is restructuring following its acquisition of the NFL Network to remove redundant roles before the Super Bowl. This move signals a shift away from traditional, centralized host roles toward a model where talent acts as an independent brand. It is a hell of a way to run a ship. By turning layoffs into a spectacle, they have effectively invited public criticism and signaled to their remaining staff that professional loyalty is a one-way street. The Department of Defense has not provided Congress with a clear exit strategy for the conflict in Iran, despite requesting $67 billion in funding. Pentagon press briefings have been silent since May, and casualty data is being withheld from the public. This is a dangerous game of strategic blindness. We have seen the mission creep from regime change to nuclear nonproliferation, and now to securing shipping lanes in the Strait of Hormuz. When you refuse to tell the public or Congress what is actually happening, you are not protecting national security. You are just hiding the fact that you do not have a plan. In Seattle, the 2020 Capitol Hill occupied protest, known as CHOP, devolved into fatal violence after formal law enforcement was removed. The attempt to create a self-governed space meant that when a vehicle entered the camp, the security role fell to untrained protesters. That lack of institutional training and oversight turned a tense situation into a deadly, unsolved shooting. It is a brutal lesson in what happens when you remove the state without a functional replacement. You cannot achieve justice by simply opting out of the legal tools required to deliver it. The FDA recently issued a rapid public health warning regarding a cyclosporiasis outbreak linked to Taylor Farms before the science was fully solidified. The agency later confirmed the initial lab result was a false positive. This created a credibility crisis that allowed the company to challenge the agency's findings and confuse the public. This is what happens when you gut a department's funding. Because the agency is understaffed, they are forced to choose between delayed warnings and inaccurate rushed disclosures. It is a cycle that destroys public trust, and honestly, it is a shitty situation. In Congress, more than 100 Democrats voted for an amendment to defund aid to Israel. While the measure failed, the number of supporters has tripled since earlier in the year. This marks a significant shift in party politics as skepticism toward the current relationship moves from the fringe to the mainstream. Leadership is struggling to hold the line, because this issue is now too divisive for traditional party discipline. If Democrats win a majority in the House, they are going to be dealing with a fractured caucus where small, vocal factions can hold the legislative agenda hostage. We are seeing a trend of reactive governance failing to manage long-term consequences across the board. Whether it is the crisis in the Northern Territory's child protection system, or the rising risk of supply chain shocks near the Bab al-Mandab Strait, the pattern is the same. We are trading long-term stability for immediate, often poorly vetted, fixes. Separately, the Democratic Socialists of America are proposing to scrap the Senate and the presidency entirely in favor of a unicameral system. They want to remove the structural friction that forces political deliberation. It is an invitation to winner-take-all politics, which, given our current state of fragility, is exactly the kind of rupture that usually ends in disaster. The financial world is dealing with its own version of fragmentation as global central banks stop playing from the same playbook. Global central banks are officially going their own way. The Federal Reserve is staying patient. The European Central Bank is leaning toward more tightening. And the Bank of Japan is normalizing policy at a crawl. This is no longer a synchronized global effort. It's a fractured landscape where every central bank is guessing at the source of inflation. The U.S. Federal Reserve is maintaining its current strategy under Chairman Jerome Powell. They are moving away from debating whether supply shocks are temporary and toward fighting persistent price levels head-on. The Fed is even considering ditching their usual forward guidance and summary of economic projections. That move is supposed to keep them from looking like they are endorsing specific forecasts, but it probably just means more confusion for investors. If inflation stays near 3%, don't expect rate cuts until 2027. Here is the thing about this pivot. The Fed is essentially betting that the economy can handle a long-term high-rate environment without cracking. They are banking on a soft landing, but that relies almost entirely on energy prices staying stable. If geopolitical tensions lead to a spike in oil or refined products, the Fed will be forced to hike rates even higher. That is a hell of a tightrope to walk when you are also trying to keep the labor market from falling apart. Meanwhile, Europe is facing a different kind of headache. Because their rates are near neutral, the European Central Bank has more room to hike, but it is a risky play. Rising rates mean higher debt burdens for member states like France, Italy, and Spain. It creates a feedback loop where the policy meant to fix inflation ends up worsening the fiscal instability of the entire region. It is a shitty position to be in, and it gets worse when you add upcoming elections to the mix. Back in the States, the market is starting to look a lot like the late 90s tech bubble. We have extreme capital concentration in a handful of AI-related stocks. If that momentum reverses, your average index fund is going to take a massive hit. You are not getting broad market exposure anymore. You are making a concentrated bet on a single theme. It makes you wonder why everyone is still acting like passive indexing is the gold standard of safety. Everything here points to a future where you cannot rely on institutional narratives. Social Security and Medicare are essentially backed by accounting tricks, and the government has a structural incentive to let inflation erode those obligations over time. If you are waiting for the system to save your retirement, you are probably going to be disappointed. The smart move right now is not chasing the latest AI hype. It is building a portfolio that can actually survive a reality where the inflation is sticky and the central banks are flying blind. While the bankers try to figure out their next move, there is a lesson in how the best teams win. It turns out that having a coherent strategy beats raw talent every single time. Spain won the 2023 Women's World Cup with a high possession style that allowed only one goal in the knockout stages. They used tactical substitutes to bypass defensive traps that stalled other teams. It is a masterclass in why some teams dominate while others scramble. Spain stayed healthy and kept their tactical core intact, while their opponents were forced to compromise their identity mid-game. That is the trap, right? You get impatient, you tweak the system, and suddenly you are playing your opponent's game instead of your own. This theme of resisting the urge to scramble shows up everywhere, even in the kitchen. Chef Hillary Sterling runs her restaurant, Ci Siamo, Chi Siamo, by trading rigid, ego-driven rules for sensory feedback. She teaches her chefs to listen to the sound of a pan or watch the texture of meat rather than hiding behind a thermometer. It sounds like a soft skill, but it is a hard economic choice. By treating her kitchen like a classroom, Sterling loses some efficiency in the short term, but she builds a team that can solve problems in real time. She ignores the prestige roles that would force her into a corporate mold, opting instead to source 28,000 pounds of cipollini, cipollini, onions herself. The same logic applies to your morning routine. If you check your phone the second you wake up, you are letting the world set your pace. You shift from an offensive position to a reactive one before you have even had coffee. You are literally handing over your cognitive agency to a push notification. The advice here is simple but brutal. Protect that first hour. If you replace digital noise with movement and a review of your own priorities, you build a kind of psychological dominance. We see this exact tension in the financial markets, too. Vanguard's latest take on investment strategy suggests that most of our bad returns are self-inflicted. We chase alpha, we trade too much, and we fall for recency bias. Essentially, we confuse the business of consuming market news with the actual practice of investing. The data shows that the decision to sell is often the biggest value destroyer in a portfolio. Investors frequently underperform random liquidation by 2 to 3%. That is a hell of a tax to pay for being active. Even in Fantasy Premier League, the game has shifted away from the eye test toward a rigid analytical management style. With so many teams in transition, the recommendation is to treat the first 5 weeks of the season as an information-gathering period. The goal is structural flexibility. If you lock your budget into 3 expensive strikers, you are trapped. You lose the ability to react when the market shifts. The best managers are not the ones who get lucky in week 1. They are the ones who make the sensible, boring moves that keep their options open for week 10. It is all the same pattern, honestly. Whether you are managing a professional kitchen, a football squad, or a retirement fund, the noise is always trying to force you into a reactive, short-term fix. The competitive advantage isn't being the smartest person in the room. It is just having the discipline to stay unbothered by the daily fire hose. Anyway, that is the big picture for the day. Here are a few smaller items that didn't make the front page but probably should have. Local party committees are increasingly appointing non-political figures to fill vacancies, like Darlene Graham. It creates a complete lack of transparency, because voters are left guessing whether these people are actually qualified or just loyal to the party bosses. Housing shortage estimates are currently all over the place, ranging from 1.2 million to 10 million units. The discrepancy comes down to how you define a household. Some models only count new construction, while others account for the people who would move out of their parents' basements if they could actually afford rent. If you are looking at the 2028 Republican field, history says look at the vice presidents. Roughly 1/3 of them end up securing their party's nomination. It is a cynical bet on name recognition, which, honestly, usually pays off. Political media has morphed into a pure performance business. Influencers are incentivized to crank up the outrage because that is what drives the clicks and the revenue. Truth is just an obstacle to growth, which is a hell of a thing to admit while you are calling yourself a journalist. There is a weird trade-off when you ditch the GPS for paper maps. You will definitely end up stuck at a closed bridge or wandering around a town with no vacancy, but you actually see the place you are visiting. It is inefficient, sure, but it beats staring at a blue dot on a screen while you drive through a world you never actually look at. Software teams are using canary tokens and hardware honeypots as tripwires for hackers. These are basically digital bait that trigger an alert the second someone touches them. It is a smart way to catch a breach during the initial reconnaissance phase, rather than finding out about it 6 months later when your data is already for sale on the dark web. That is the wrap for today. Keep your head on a swivel, and I will see you tomorrow.